Fraud is on the rise. The combination of social media, technology, and social engineering is creating new, more potent global fraud trends. Accountants and finance professionals are at the vanguard in this new fraud landscape. Roger Darvall Stevens is the Melbourne-based National Head of Fraud and Forensic Services for RSM, a global audit, tax, and professional services firm. I'm Drew Adamack, Journal of Accountancy Senior Editor, and I spoke with Roger at a conference in June about the emerging global fraud trends that finance professionals and accountants need to be aware of, how firms can protect themselves against these trends, and why the biggest risk to your firm may come from within.
Running a business is rarely simple, but earning rewards can be. With the Chase Inc. Business Unlimited card, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase for whatever your business needs. Restrictions and limitations apply. Offer subject to change. Cards are issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank and a member FDIC.
Roger, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Drew.
What are the three biggest issues that CFOs should be thinking about when it comes to global fraud?
So I suppose it's the three different types in a way. So the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, in their global report to the nations, which is produced every 2 years, the latest version's 2018, talks about three types, and I think it broadly categorises what organisations and heads of finance should keep a lookout for. So one is corruption in all its different forms, whether it's bribery or procurement fraud, conflicts of interest. Another one is asset misappropriation, which is really anything of value that gets stolen. That can be accounts payable fraud, accounts receivable fraud, payroll, theft of assets, even theft of intellectual property. And then the third is financial statement fraud. And that can be cooking the books at the top level, but it can also be anyone throughout the organisation misrepresenting performance, which then has an effect on misrepresenting the financial statements often. Yeah.
As you look out over the fraud landscape, the global fraud landscape, how do you see it changing over the, or how have you seen it changing over the last 4 or 5 years, and how do you see it changing in the next 3 to 5 years?
I think the main change has been one aspect that I didn't include in those three categories, which is cyber fraud, or the use of a whole lot of techniques that are used to really commit traditional fraud. So the traditional frauds that I mentioned of corruption, asset misappropriation, and financial statement fraud are always going to be there. They have always been there. And technology has really just changed the enablers to allow it to happen. But what I mean by the cyber fraud is, and I'll use one or two examples, is relatively new methods and techniques of stealing money, and one that heads of finance will be well aware of, or they should be well aware of, is business email compromise, or often called CEO email fraud, where often it mightn't be the financial controller or the chief financial officer, but it might be someone in the finance team receiving an email purporting to be from the CEO. And criminals are very clever. They've often looked at someone's LinkedIn or their Facebook and seen that they're overseas at a conference. The CEO's overseas at the conference. They'll do their research on the website for the organisation. There's a lot of really good information on the website of signatures on annual reports and a range of things. And then they'll pretend to be the CEO and say, this has to be paid or else we're going to miss this major contract, pay $200,000 into this account, here's the BSB and account number, and if it's not done ASAP, we'll lose this contract and it'll adversely affect the business. What amazes me is that employees still don't do the normal thing of ringing the CEO or emailing and saying, you just sent this, is that correct? Because they just say no. The other aspect is ransomware. So those sort of attacks where there's some sort of cyber attack on the organisation and suddenly all the computers are attacked and literally no one can get into the data and the systems. And then there's a ransom asked for by criminals of saying, we can release your data if you pay a certain amount of, usually it's Bitcoin or some cryptocurrency. And what is a dirty little secret is that most organisations, when you're in this knowing what goes on, end up having to pay the ransom to free their information because it's not backed up, or else they'd just say, forget it, we're not paying a ransom, we'll go to our backup of data. Or they're just such, they're caught out so much that they have to pay the ransom. And ironically, these criminals will honour that and generally free the data because they won't last in business, in criminal business, ironically, if they don't do it.
I'm going to make an assumption here that fraud seems to be becoming more global, that if you owned a shop or a business, it required someone to be in your shop or business to steal from you. Now, someone anywhere in the world can steal from you. How does that change the relationship that finance departments, CFOs have with fraud? How does that change their responsibilities in your mind?
It raises the bar on all staff needing to be aware a lot more, because I agree with you, and be more professionally skeptical. And you're right, it can happen. It could be somebody in an African country, for example, targeting another country, a business in another country. And, you know, sometimes the sort of email scams used to be so amateur, you'd go, seriously, it's not even in correct English. It doesn't look professional. It's pretty obvious to highlight that it's a scam. Nowadays, it can look pretty real. And so, yes, they need to be ever vigilant. And what I observe is a lot of organisations, you know, they're focusing on the core business, which is absolutely right, but they're not necessarily putting the investment into the sort of functions like compliance, internal audit, fraud control. And so, therefore, there's not the people there necessarily conduct training for people in finance, for example, to say what to look out for, or in procurement. And so they're not as well trained as they could be, especially to sort of emerging nuances of how things happen, as you pointed out, with technology as an enabler.
Do you see, as you look across the fraud landscape, do you see a bigger risk to finance departments and companies coming from inside or outside?
I think that's probably a changing trend, and it'll depend on the industry and the organisation, but traditionally the insider is the majority of the risk, and I think finance departments would still need to absolutely be aware of the insider committing fraud and keeping a lookout for red flags of that. But with the emergence and the prevalence of cybercrime, there's that external threat there all the time, like the business email compromise example.
How do you recommend companies start to train their people differently to prepare for these new threats or these emerging technologies?
Sure. So a lot of different risk areas in business require awareness, and we're talking, you know, fraud, bribery and corruption risk. And employees should have training. And in short, the training should be what to look out for, what is fraud, bribery and corruption, what are some examples, what are the red flags, and where should they report that? Because then management can at least know about it and then take some action. So that's employee training, but also there's different tranches of training. So, you know, the finance, you know, I would ask finance controllers or heads of finance, has your team been received any training in fraud, bribery and corruption control or awareness? And if they haven't, well they'd need to. Also in an organisation, there's another tranche of training of people who have fraud control responsibility and response responsibility. So if they're going to investigate areas of fraud and corruption, do they have any training? Now, that's internal training, and that can be done internally, or it can be done through an organisation like RSM to conduct training for clients.
We've talked about how criminals have ramped up their efforts and ramped up their ability. How do you see the trends in law enforcement and fraud prevention changing and shifting?
So they're trying to keep up as best they can, and that'll be a resource constraint and probably a training and upskilling situation. I think law enforcement do as best they can within the limitations of their resources and how fast they can keep up with what is chasing the trends. And so it depends on the law enforcement organisation and which country it is.
In talking about skills, when you are talking about management accountants, CFOs, finance professionals, what kind of skills do they need to be, or which skills do they need to be developing to deal with this sort of new fraud environment?
So it's the professional skepticism, and I think it's the knowledge to know the similar things to what we talked about, what types of fraud there are, what are the emerging trends, what are the red flags to look out for, how do you prevent, detect, and respond to those sort of areas. Now, even if finance professionals don't necessarily have that key fraud control responsibility, there might be a fraud control person with that responsibility, or a compliance officer, or the head of legal. They still need to have that understanding because they're an absolutely key stakeholder in the lines of defence for the organisation.
In your view, for companies now, it's not just cash that's at stake. What do you see at risk for companies aside from financial damage?
So certainly there's been a ramping up of the traditional risks associated with intellectual property, privacy, private information, data protection, and with changes in data protection laws all around the world. So criminals are after any sort of private information. It can be a list of customers with their banking records, where they can then commit, criminals can then commit identity theft and then identity fraud. I think that's probably the main non-financial aspect. And then that, of course, dovetails into reputation risk, where it's probably not even the financial aspects, it's the reputation risk that can impact shareholder, you know, the share price, stock market, and have a massive impact on companies.
How do you see the nature of fraudsters changing?
I just heard a speaker speak at the conference today, Theresa Payton, who's the former White House Chief Information Officer and Cybersecurity Authority. And she predicted that one of the trends emerging, the misinformation that's happening with some of the political circles around the world, that how does an organisation prepare themselves for that sort of attack and misinformation on an organisation that is completely fraudulent? And that is sort of an emerging trend that could occur that organisations probably haven't considered and could actually bring them down.
What do you see as the emerging trends in combating fraud moving forward?
What I see is the opposite of the answer to your question, which is I see organisations reducing or minimising their resources for fraud control rather than realise that the sort of line of defence that fraud professionals, anti-fraud professionals, internal audit, compliance professionals, they're absolutely key in keeping the organisation ethical and operating effectively. So it mightn't be the core business of producing the good or service the company's producing, but it's key to the successful governance, risk and compliance of the organisation. So to answer your question, it's about keeping those resources, keeping them skilled and making a difference to the organisation to, you know, maintain that governance, risk and compliance.
What are the most common misconceptions that companies have about fraud?
Often it will be, it hasn't happened to us, I don't think it'll happen to us. We'll do something that's commensurate with that understanding of the risk of fraud, bribery and corruption. However, you ask them, you know, and I ask clients and often get involved in doing it, have you done a fraud and corruption risk assessment? And the answer is no. So therefore, if you don't know what the risks are, how do you know that they're being mitigated? And another aspect of this is whistleblowing. And often there may not be an effective whistleblower avenue or avenues in an organisation. And so if employees in particular don't know where to go, they might either not report something that's a suspicion or a concern, or they go to the media or law enforcement. And I'm not saying that's bad, but what I'm saying is management would prefer that an employee goes to them first so they could take the right management approach, investigate something and know what's going on and take the right management action.
It's not just companies and finance departments that are at risk. Individuals are more increasingly at risk as well, aren't they?
Of course, yeah. So we're talking organisational or occupational fraud generally, or external criminal groups preying on those organisations. But you and I and people who listen to your podcast and their families are potential victims of, you know, identity theft and fraud and cyber attack. And, you know, we all probably have stories of a transaction on our individual bank accounts that wasn't authorised. And these days the banks are pretty good at sort of telling you straight away, we've had a transaction in another country, did you authorise this? And you say no, and then they shut it down pretty quickly. But yes, we're very vulnerable to this, absolutely. And a good example of what I do when I make any purchases is I literally never let my credit card out of my sight. And coming to America from Australia, it's hilarious because, you know, you actually do let your credit card out of your sight. And I've had some people working at restaurants who I've had to follow behind the counter. And they said, well, the public aren't allowed here. And I said, well, you give me the card machine and I'll put in my number and all that sort of thing. So it's quite funny. So yes, we do need to be vigilant of that and we're all potential victims of it.
Roger, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Drew.
I'm Journal of Accountancy Senior Editor Drew Adamack, and I have been speaking with Roger Darvall-Stevens, National Head of Fraud and Forensic Services at RSM, a global tax, audit, and professional services firm, about emerging global fraud trends and what finance professionals and accountants can do about them. For more information and other Journal of Accountancy podcasts, please visit our website. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.